it is, everybody. Welcome to episode 45 of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff!
A little bit of grunt in that one. I liked it.
Yeah, had a bit of twang.
Well, shit, we're back onto another fucking Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah. I love this one thing I love. It's repetition. So here we go. Marvel.
Today we'll be reviewing Ant-Man, and it feels like only yesterday that we did fucking Avengers. Like, Jesus Christ. Is that just a sign of how fast this year is going, or was that not really that long ago?
I'm going to say it's a bit of both, because Avengers wasn't too long ago, and at the same time, this year is fucking, like, just flying by. It's insane.
Yeah, it's weird.
My goodness.
When was Avengers? Was that May? I feel like it was May.
It was April. No, I think it was April.
Shit, so that was a little while
ago. No, it would have been, I don't know.
And what was the Marvel movie before that? It was Guardians, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That felt like a huge gap.
Yeah, well, Guardians came out in August.
Yeah, true.
For some reason, and there's no other Marvel film out this year, is there?
I don't know. What is the next one?
Wouldn't it be X-Men? Wouldn't it be...
Yeah, but that's not in the Marvel universe. That's not the MCU, bro.
What is the next one? This is the end of Phase 2. Ant-Man's the end of Phase 2 for all the Marvel films. Let me have a look.
It's not Guardians. It's not another Guardians, is it? Is
that No, it's 2017, I'm pretty sure.
Ah, okay.
What's the next one? Let me have a look.
It's not Cap 3, is it? Civil War.
No. Ah, is it Civil War? No, it couldn't be Civil War. Wouldn't it be... Hang on, let's fucking find out. No, you're right, it is. It's Civil War.
Is that next year?
Yeah, July 2017... July 17th, 2015, Ant-Man. And then Captain America Civil War. And then Doctor Strange comes out at the end of November. And Galaxy 2 comes...
Wow, that feels like a really big gap.
That's a huge gap. I don't understand.
Like,
because normally it's always one's out like the start of the year, one's out the end. But for some reason, Ant-Man is out in July.
Yeah, well, it's smack bang in the summer season.
Oh, it's Star Wars. Star Wars. That's why.
Yeah.
Disney wouldn't want to release Ant-Man and Star Wars at the same time. Wouldn't be making any money.
Well, that's true. Well, we'll get on to Ant-Man. I did go see a few other films during this last week period. One of them being Insidious 3, which you have dodged that bullet, my friend.
Yeah, thank fucking God. Apparently it was just terrifying. Like, apparently it was just... Ooh, oh.
Nah, not Dude, really. God. I didn't think so. I thought it actually, of the three, because I'm a big fan of the first two, I thought this one felt a little... It just wasn't on par, especially in scares wise. Like,
oh,
yeah,
really?
there was definitely a few good scares, but there's a few certain elements from the first one. I think is one of the best horror films of recent times. And it had this lipstick demon that was just fucking creepy as shit. And for some reason, they just don't come back to him. Like, the second one was all about this old lady in a veil that's trying to strangle people coming, like, trying to get into our world from the demon world, which is called the Further. But they then in this one, it's totally random, because at the end of the second one, without spoiling too much, they sort of tease that the lipstick demon might be coming back. And then this one's like a prequel to everything. And it was kind of, it's sort of in between in number two, but it has Lin Shaye comes back, and she's like kind of a medium who can contact dead people and shit like that, and knows all about the demons that are trying to kill people. But it's kind of her origin story, this one, which I really don't fucking care about. I just want to see this lipstick demon come back, which they promised me at the end of the second one, but they don't do it in this one. And they bring and there's some fucking stupid guy in a gas mask, and it's just not as scary as it could have been. Like, it's almost there, but yeah, so that's my piece on that. But I do have a funny story about going to see Insidious. I went and saw it on Thursday, like a midday session.
Yeah.
And the last time I watched the Insidious movies, I was showing it off to my friend Mitch, and Insidious blew my speakers. It actually destroyed my sound surround sound system, because it's one of those films that's like, you know, really hardcore jump scares, like the big, like, just shrill violins, just like sort of stuff. So like, you'll have it all turned up nice and loud, and then it just fucking gets you. And it got my fucking sound system. It destroyed one of my speakers, which I thought was pretty fucking fitting, because it's, you know, an evil movie about evil things, and it evilly destroyed the technology.
Speakers, yeah.
But on another thing, this time I was in the cinema, and fucking halfway through the movie, the power cuts out. So everyone fucking Insidious is just like destroying technology. It's like, it seems to be a running thing. So if I see Chapter 4, I hope something technologically goes wrong as well, just to keep the fucking, you know, the tradition alive. I did watch the trailer to Suicide Squad.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I think it looks cool. I think it looks really cool, actually. Fucking Harley Quinn is exactly what I want her to be, so I'm happy. That's really all I cared about.
Whatever.
Yeah, why are you not feeling? Because everybody else seems to be
such a fucking boring trailer. It doesn't show anything, and everyone's just like, oh, look at that, and I'm like, I'm not seeing shit, man. And to be honest, all these characters look boring. Will Smith kind of fucking looking at the camera sternly. I'm like, man, you guys are Batman villains. You guys are like up there with the Spider-Man villains, who are all the coolest fucking villains ever, and none of you are cool. You're all fucking boring. And everyone, like you said, is going on about Harley Quinn, and I'm like, what? Like, Harley Quinn doesn't do anything. She just kind of looks at the camera a little bit. That's not, how do you tell? No! And then the Joker, and then everyone was frothing about the Joker, and I was like, fucking, really? This looks like probably the worst, from what I've seen, like the worst Joker so far, because all I've seen is him say one line, and he just sounds evil, and there's no charm to him. And the whole reason I love the Joker is because he's got some fucking sweet, sweet charm to him, and I just don't see it yet. Then again, it is a teaser trailer, so I have no idea. And that's why I'm just not excited, because didn't tease me correctly.
Well, I think that the whole purpose of the tease is just to show all these characters that, you know, people like me who read the comics and know that are all like, oh fuck, that's him, oh fuck, that's her, that's fucking, you know, like Killer Croc comes out, oh sweet, you know, it doesn't really show fucking anything. It's more just to show these are the people we're going to be playing with in, you know, the next year. I think the next trailer will, you know, give away a little bit more. It sets up the whole idea of the Suicide Squad, though, which I think was cool. I look, I'm not fucking blown away by it, but I'm definitely very keen. And I'm definitely very happy that what Margot's doing with Harley Quinn so far. She looks like she's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's like it. I'm not fucking Jai Courtney though. He just keeps popping up in places, and he's just not impressing me ever. Like, he really let me down in Terminator. Yeah. I don't know why he's such a big deal at the moment, but anyway. And of course, he's fucking Captain Boomerang, the Australian one.
Yeah.
Can't
wait for that.
Yeah. All right, should we get on to Ant-Man?
Let's do it!
I had a bit of a fuck around getting to the cinema to see Ant-Man, actually. I was on the way there, my fucking tire popped. And I'd already booked into the IMAX ahead of time. So fucking, we had to make it. And I was on my way to pick up Beck, and on the highway, my tire just went, doo, 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 and I'm just like, oh, fucking what? So I had to like drive it, because I was on the highway. I had to keep driving to get off it, and it's fucking up my wheel even more, which is actually in the mechanics right now. And I'm sure he's going to call me and tell me that my wheel's fucked and I need new wheels now. But like, I had to pull over into this fucking shady area where I had to change the tire, and I'm just starting to lose my shit. And I'm like, this movie better be fucking good. That's what I said when I got there. But I did win one on the claw machine just before it as well. So, you know, luck turned around a little bit.
What did you win?
You know that fucking Home movie, that little purple alien? I won one of those.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Very nice.
You know, a dollar. It was just a little something, something to, you know, the world was shitting on me and then it gave me an alien.
There you go. That's all you need, hey? Just a little bit of that. Pick you back up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, do you want to hit us with the plot summary?
Sure, no, there's nothing you'd rather do. Airman follows Scott Lang, an ex-burglar recently released from prison, just trying to make a good life for himself to support his daughter, Cassie. After no luck finding a job, with Baskin Robbins totally firing him, Scott resorts back to what he does best, stealing, after a tip is given that an old man's basement has a safe filled with valuables. After an exciting and tricky break-in, Scott breaks into the safe to reveal nothing but a suit. Scott takes the suit home and after a short while, puts it on and discovers its true power, the ability to shrink to the size of an ant. It's revealed that the entire break-in was set up by the owner of the house, Hank Pym, who's looking for someone to become the new Ant-Man after his ex-apprentice, Darren Cross, has revealed that he is creating a company to develop a similar suit, but built for war. Hank Pym turns out to be a super fucking brainy scientist who's really good at making shit, hence the suit. After initially denying the offer, Scott accepts the role in the hope that he'll be better able to look after Cassie. While training is tough and difficult, Scott learns to communicate and control an army of ants using a device Hank Pym has created that goes on your ear and completely master the suit. In the meantime, Darren Cross has organized a huge night to premiere his new supersuit to all of his possible investors, including Hydra, and Hank sees this as the perfect opportunity to use Scott to destroy it. Doing what he does best, Scott breaks into the building and manages to blow that shit up and everything within it, seemingly saving the world. Not before, though, Cross manages to steal the one prototype super suit. And it's called, what is it called? Yellow Jacket. That's what the suit's called. The Yellow Jacket. Scott manages to jump onto Darren's helicopter when they're flying off. And henceforth begins the final battle where Cross wears the yellow jacket and Scott and him are fighting it out. They end up falling out of the helicopter while in a suitcase, landing in a thing of water and escaping and fucking fighting it out in someone's house. And then, I did not write this bit down. And then Darren Cross gets zapped by a bug zapper, which was hilarious. Scott gets arrested just as things are turning out good. And on the way to prison, it turns out, on the way to, you know, back to the watch house, they hear that there's someone at Cassie, Scott's daughter's house, breaking in. So they drive all the way over, and hence the fight continues, and Ant-Man fights the Yellow Jacket, and as everything's going awful, Yellow Jacket's trying to kill Cassie, and then Scott sacrifices himself by going subatomic in the suit, which means he just keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, so he can get within Yellow Jacket's titanium plated suit, which you can't get in if you shrink. So he just does the subatomic thing and he gets through and shrinks for the molecules and like everything's meant to be like he's never coming back, and he destroys Yellow Jacket, and then he just like he pretty much, there's no big deal really, he just comes back anyway. He's just like, oh, and then he's back. And the day is saved. And everything's good. And everyone's happy. And Scott's record is wiped clean. And Hank Pym's happy. And he hooks up with Hank Pym's daughter. And life is good. The end. And then the Avengers fucking asked to recruit him, which is a big shock. I'm sure no one was seeing that one.
This movie, it keeps to Marvel's definite, like, you know, their structures and all that sort of thing. But he is a different kind of hero, which in some ways I found quite refreshing. Because this is one of their biggest gambles, along with Guardians. Like, just about anyone who hears fucking Ant-Man who has no sort of background to it, it just sounds stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a guy who shrinks and he can control ants, like, but what I do like what they do with this film is they definitely don't take themselves seriously. With a script written by our boy, what's his name?
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright, with a script that was originally done by him and then touched up by Paul Rudd and Adam McKay.
Fucked by everybody else. Paul Rudd didn't touch it.
Yeah, he did. He wrote it.
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, Paul Rudd and Adam McKay. Did the final draft.
No. 100%.
And that's why, I don't know if I would say that they fucked it, because, you know, it would have definitely been a different movie if it was an Edgar Wright film, but if it was, but this basically has become like an Adam McKay fucking Judd Apatow style movie within a superhero movie. And I kind of dug that.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't?
Look, I could feel every Edgar Wright moment in this film. I was like, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. And then everything else, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, because it's not an Edgar, like, all these Edgar Wright moments were there, but they weren't Edgar Wright moments. And then everything, like, it just felt like a mishmash of, like, mood and tone with what they were trying to get across. And it really started to piss me off. Like,
oh, really? I didn't see that at all. What are you thinking of the Edgar Wright moments?
All those quick montages, all that sort of the dialogue that comes back from another scene. So when he says, Baskin Robbins always finds out the first time, that initial joke, and then he gets there and he's like, yeah, I got fired. And the guy's like, yeah, Baskin Robbins always finds out, man. That's an Edgar Wright moment. Like, those Edgar Wright moments.
I don't know. See, I could say that's an Adam McKay moment also.
Like, no fucking way. That is
absolutely. Right.
Definitely.
That's not... Edgar Wright doesn't own fucking bringing back jokes from other scenes. Like, come on.
No, but the way it's delivered, like, it's a fucking Edgar Wright moment. Like, everything about it, and every time there's, like, this montage and the way they're describing what's going to happen, like, I'm like, I can feel it. Like, I know what they're trying to do, but I just weren't doing it right. It was giving the shits.
See, I think that you've just got the taste of Edgar Wright still in your mouth, and you were holding on to that and making everything feel like an Edgar Wright moment when it's
to be honest, I didn't even think about Edgar Wright sort of like directing it, like potentially directing it, until I got in and saw these montage moments and went, oh, there it is. I was like, oh, that's what they were doing. And it didn't bother me initially, it bothered me later, because with the writing, I was like, man, where are they trying to go with this tone? Like, what is the tone they're trying to get? And I just, it wasn't hitting this mark for me. So, a lot of people seem to be enjoying it though.
To me, the tone was light, and it was there the entire time that I found. I felt like that's one thing that the movie did get right was its tone. I don't know if it did jump back and forward as much as you're saying it did. To me, it was like pretty, pretty even throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is one of those movies I thought I'd actually quite really get by, just kind of be all for, you know, like very Guardians. And I think one of the things I was expecting was that its mood was very Guardians. Like, because Guardians, I think, really hit the mark for its tone, where it's this, like, kind of smart-ass film that almost, like, it doesn't take itself seriously, but it also doesn't totally take the piss out of itself. And I was kind of watching Ant-Man, and I was like, man, I want you to kind of be a love letter to superhero films. I want you to do what Edgar Wright did to action films and zombie films and all that. But I just wanted it to either take itself seriously, or I wanted it to kind of almost be a parody of itself. And it wasn't either. It was in the middle, and it was just throwing me. It was just fucking throwing me, because there's just moments I just could not get behind.
Well, that's what I think it's definitely not a parody of itself, that's for sure. And I think that's what I appreciated, because that seems like the easy route to go. What to me is what I said before. I feel like it's more of almost like a bromance drama, fucking bromance drama comedy thrown into a superhero world. And that's what I mean. Like, I really like that. I really like I'm really looking forward to movies like Trainwreck, even though it's not a bromance, but that's that Judd Apatow style, that Adam McKay style of fucking Step Brothers or Anchorman. Like, it didn't go as stupid as that, but it definitely has that Paul Rudd fucking taste to it. It definitely killed it. Yeah. I felt like he was playing his character from Knocked Up as Scott, is it Scott Lang? Is that his name?
Scott Lang?
Yeah, as Ant-Man. Like, I felt that was pretty much what was happening here. And to me, that worked. Like, I don't know what I expected from this movie. I was really excited when Edgar Wright was doing his thing. But, like, look, I'm not a fucking huge Edgar Wright fanboy. Like, I really, really like him, but I'm not like fucking, he's the be all and end all. So when he fucking dropped out, yeah, I was bummed. We spoke about it quite a bit, but yeah. Like, it wasn't like a devastating thing to me. Like, it's like now it's just going to be a different film. And I'd actually forgotten that Adam McKay and, Adam McKay or whatever, how you say his name, and Paul Rudd had taken over the writing duties, because that's a pretty big deal to me, because like those films like Knocked Up and Step Brothers are up there in my top films. So for them to cross over with a superhero fucking genre, which is just getting so stale, and bring out something like this, which is pretty much the perfect meshing of the two for me, I found it, yeah, really refreshing.
Yeah, no, I just felt like the tone was just the same. It just felt like the set every other Marvel film, which pissed me off. Yeah, like,
it definitely was in the same realm, but it was different enough that I did feel refreshed. It didn't feel like fucking Avengers, and it didn't feel like Guardians either to me. It was like, it definitely had that Marvel fucking taste, because they've got to do that, and you know, it's got to be in this fucking MCU style. But it was different enough for me to be really like, wow, okay, cool.
And it fucks me off though. Like, it shouldn't have to be anything, and that's kind of my issue. I was like, I fucking know this is a Marvel film. The whole tone of it's a Marvel film, and I'm like, why the fuck is it a Marvel film? Like, I could just feel everything they. I just.
It has to be a Marvel film. It's in the Marvel. No,
just this fucking, like, it's like, oh, sorry, the tone's gonna be like this because every other fucking movie we're gonna make, it's gonna make millions of dollars, it's gonna have the same tone. I'm like, get fucked. Like, it's bullshit.
But dude, that's like saying that you wanted Dark Knight Rises to be a light comedy. Like, it has to be the same tone.
No, it's not at all. I'm not saying it has to be a fucking, this totally different movie. I'm just saying, it shouldn't have to be the exact same fucking thing as everything else, which is what it felt like. The only reason I think one of the reasons I like Guardians so much is because it got away with it, because it's a movie about a bunch of cunts in space, so they could do whatever the fuck they wanted anyway. It still had a Marvel tone, but it was so fucking barely there. And this shit is just like, I'm just watching, I'm like, this is like the first Iron Man. Like,
yeah, I'd say it's there. I'd say it's there as much as it is in Guardians.
No.
But Guardians is definitely a Marvel film. It's just about different characters, and that's what I think this one is as well.
Nah, Guardians does something different. I don't want to get into Guardians. It's definitely a Marvel film, you're right. But, and that's what I'm saying, but it's something about the tone of it that's just, it sets it aside, which is why I think it's so well.
Well, I'm not about to say that this is even on the same plane as Guardians of the Galaxy, because Guardians is a fucking masterpiece. But it's I'm just saying, tone wise, I think the tone is still in both of them as probably equally, but it's just this one is not as much to distract you from it, because it's a more relatable story in our world rather than out in the fucking galaxy somewhere with, you know, green bitches taking your attention.
What did you think about Yellow Jacket?
I fucking really liked him, man. I thought he was a really cool villain.
Really?
Yeah, man. I think he's probably one of the best villains of the Marvel Universe.
He was boring as fucking batshit.
Really?
Yes. He was just fucking plain and
like
simple.
He was definitely just your generic fucking, haha, I'm a bad scientist and I'm going to fucking use this for bad rather than good. But like, I really liked the suit. I really liked the powers that he came with. I'm actually pissed off that he wasn't in it more. That they had to do so much fucking, you know, the rise of Ant-Man, that we didn't get more of this guy. Because I fucking hated that guy. I just wanted to punch him in the face. I hated him so much. He was just such a fucking jerk. Like, he's got a stupid face, and I want to punch it.
He does have a dumb face. But I think there's no empathy towards this character. Like, there's nothing. I don't feel for this character at all, and I kind of feel like that's what Marvel gets wrong all the time, is that all the villains are just so fucking bland. Like, Ronan and Guardians and, what was I don't even know his name. What's the name of the villain in the first Iron Man?
Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, pretty much. Jeff Bridges in the second Iron Man, and then, like, Thor's the only one because it's got Loki, but the second Thor with the Dark Elf, fucking, like, there's all these, like, it's always bland as fuck. Like, always. And it's like,
well,
oh my god.
Yeah. Well, this is what, like, I just really liked him. I guess I liked the way he looked and the way that he was sort of brought across and his powers and stuff more so than the actual character. And that's what me saying, like, I would have liked to have spent more time with this bad guy, because like you got a little bit of something, like you could tell he was sick of living in Hank Pym's fucking shadow, and you know, he had this weird relationship with his daughter and all that sort of stuff. Like they kind of touch on little bits here and there, but if they went into it more, you're right, if you got a little bit more empathy for him and a little more screen time, he could have been a really, really good villain.
Exactly. And he's just so weak, and it bothers me. Like, there's so much he could have done. And it just pissed me off, because I'm like, man, I fucking hate you. Like, I want to hit you in the face so bad, but I want to know why I want to hit you in the face. Like, I want to understand more that why you're a dick. Like, you can't just shoot a guy in a bathroom and be. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, I really want to get behind the fact that you are just a fucking tosspot.
No, you're right. It's funny because, like, I hated this guy going into it. I don't even know what his name is, but I've only seen him in like one or two other movies.
Such a punchable face,
and he's just And I remember seeing, even actually walking into the cinema, and I saw the poster. It was the new one with Paul Rudd's got his fucking Ant-Man
helmet off.
The helmet off, and you can see all the characters. I was like, oh, that's right, that fucking guy's in it. I was like really pissed off about it. So like I automatically hated him, and maybe that's why I think he works so well as a villain, because I just straight up hated him from the start. But then I started to like him because he was so delightfully evil. You're right though. I don't know why I hate him. I just hated him anyway. So it was like,
And you enjoyed Paul Rudd as Ant-Man? Oh,
really, really liked Paul Rudd. I was, you know, seeing the trailers, I was a bit worried. I was like, I don't know if he's got what it takes to take on this sort of thing. But because it became that sort of movie that I was talking about, that it became a Paul Rudd vehicle, and it was like, it worked. And I think he pretty much fucking nailed it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I think he did really well. Paul Rudd just played Paul Rudd pretty much. Like,
which he I'm
just
fine played Paul with, Rudd. Because he plays it so well.
Exactly. And I was like, man, you're fucking cool. Like, it's just Paul Rudd being cool.
And I did really care about his character as well. Like, I cared about, like, you know, he was a good guy. He was a Robin Hood, wasn't he? Like, he's fucking, you know, giving it back to the man.
But then I'm kind of thinking, though, like, I said before that I'm really glad Hank Pym was an Ant-Man, but now I'm considering it, and I think Hank Pym probably would have made a really good superhero character, because Hank Pym has, like, a lot of anger issues. Like,
Hank Pym's a boss, man. He's fucking cool as.
And, like, I'm kind of sitting here thinking, wouldn't it have been cool to see this character who hates S.H.I.E.L.D., who hates Stark, like, hates all the, everything we've been, like, that's been perceived to us as being great. And he wants to, like, just, like, fucking beat everyone's ass. Like, he just wants to punch the shit out of everyone. I feel like that would have been a really cool character that we haven't seen before. It's just this, like, character who's always fucking angry and always just wants to, like, just kick the shit out of everyone.
I think because I was trying to wonder why they didn't go with him, because he is the original Ant-Man. Like, And in the comics now, Scott Lang is, I think there's been a bunch of different Ant-Mans, but I don't know, I've only read like a few of them, but he, I think with the tone that they're trying to go with, like to not take itself seriously, I don't think Hank Pym could be the lead. I think it needed to be like a goofball, like Paul Rudd, or Scott Lang. And, but I totally agree with you. I actually really liked, Michael Douglas as Hank Pym as well, and just how much of a he doesn't fuck around, is like, he takes this is his thing and you can't have it, because it's gonna fuck up the world, and then somebody disrespects his wife, so he fucking punches him in the face. I was like, it's just, he's very cool. It would have been very, very interesting to see him as a lead, but I think we get enough, because I feel like he's gonna become a big deal in things as we continue on, especially in
Hank Pym or Scott Lang?
Hank Pym. I think Hank Pym will become more of a factor than Scott Lang.
I reckon between Stark and Lang. But I mean, like, this just kind of means that, Scott Lang's going to be siding with Cap'n in Civil War.
Yeah.
For one, that's what that'll mean, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, isn't it like the Civil War is like the one side wants people to have masks and the other doesn't, isn't it? Like the identity should be revealed and the other's like, no, get fucked.
I think so. I'm not sure. I haven't actually read Civil War. It's one of the only ones I haven't. But I feel like it isn't it just fucking Stark versus Iron Man? Iron Man versus Captain, basically, and like people just sort of side on their
Pretty much. They kind armies. Of run the show. Yeah.
So that'll be really cool to see. But you know what? I am excited to see Scott Lang among the Avengers because he's such a like everyman. He's not a fucking god of thunder. He's not a super soldier. He's not a billionaire philanthropist. He's just a dude trying to fucking make some dosh so he can look after his fucking daughter, you know? And I think that element of things coming into it, I appreciate it as well. Because he's just trying to get by and he just sort of gets thrust into this fantastic lifestyle rather than...
It's boggling my mind though because all I can think about is Avengers 3 and how they're going to incorporate all of these new characters. Like, you know, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, then you've got like, and the new Avengers is some bullshit because those are the cool characters. Then you got fucking Falcon. Who gives a fuck?
Well, let's talk about where we get our Avenger cameo.
It's fucking him!
Because they go to the fucking, what was he? He goes to steal something, a chip or something from the Avengers compound. And you're like, I don't know, you're probably the same, but I was sitting there going like, oh fuck, who's he going to see? Even if it's Samuel L. Jackson, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
And it's fucking Falcon.
I was like, who the fuck cares? Who gives a shit?
The worst fucking Avenger of them all. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, I like him as a side character, but not like, if you're going to have a cameo, have fucking Captain America rock up or Thor. Like, come on. Exactly. Like, Jesus Christ.
Why the fuck is it the Falcon? God damn.
But I will say, this is what I think Marvel movies should be doing. And I've said this a lot. Like, let's drop more fucking references. Let's show that we're actually in this world that's inhabited by the other fucking heroes. And yeah, it's Falcon, but like, at least it's something. And they do reference quite a bit in this movie, don't they? Like, especially in that last scene where that Chinese chick is talking to Falcon.
They made a Spider-Man reference there.
I know. That we've got wall crawlers. I was like, ah!
I got excited.
Yeah.
But Donald Glover isn't playing Spider-Man, which is fucked! Fuck! That could have saved it. I could have been so happy. Fucked it. Anyway.
Oh, no. I'll hold my... Have they actually announced who's going to be Spider-Man?
Yeah, they did.
Is it properly 100%?
Fucking white kid. Some fucking stupid... fucking white guy who I've never fucking seen before.
Yeah, they're all really young. They're all really young, the people who they were looking at. But yeah, it was good to just get those little... And that was like such a nice little subtle reference. That's kind of what I was expecting from Avengers. We were talking about at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron, there should have been some sort of fucking nod towards Spider-Man, even if it's just a drop line. And this was it. That was it. It was just enough, a little passing comment... that, you know, the people in the audience who understood it would, you know, jizz their pants.
Yeah, it was good. That they did well with their references. The fight between Falcon and Ant-Man was cool, but I was like, ugh.
It was a cool little fight, but, like, it would have been a lot cooler if it was Thor. Like, he took down, you know, and there's a bit later, he's like, yeah, man, I took down an Avenger. It's like, man, you didn't take down an Avenger. It's fucking Falcon.
I do like this feeling, though. It did give me this feeling, like, Ant-Man, if without that reference or that fight, Ant-Man would have just, I would have looked at them and gone, right, you're as capable as the rest of the Avengers. And then, but like, the fact that they like kind of idolize them, I'm like, shit, like, what if he did go against Captain America, right? And I'm like, Captain America would just beat his ass. Like Captain would just kick his fucking ass down.
Yeah, that's right.
And that sort of thing is really appealing to me. So I'm like, shit, you know, that's cool. That like, you've got these now levels of superhero and, you know, like, and Ant-Man, you know, Ant-Man's not up there.
Yeah, well, even in everybody's eyes in the public, like, nobody knows who Ant-Man is, and nobody knows in this world who Ant-Man is outside of his little circle of shit that's going on in this film. And that's what I like as well, is like, this is obviously going to become a bigger thing, and he's intimidated by these larger-than-life Avengers, and it's, yeah, they're like fanboys of them. And that's, yeah, you're right. It's a really fun element to bring into it.
And I love that he kept saying sorry the whole way through it as well, like when he's fighting.
He's got such tremendous fucking respect for them. And but that, it comes back to him being that everyman, doesn't it? Like, we could relate with this guy a little more than we can with the God of Thunder. And and I think that's what's going to be now his biggest win and biggest selling point for films to come. Like, because I feel like he'll have won over the affection of the everyman. Of most every man watching this film, and they're going to be like, "Oh, fucking, you know, Paul Rudd, Scott Lang, he's a good dude."
But he's in the same vein as Star-Lord. Like, he's the same sort of but like Star-Lord does it better. Like, fuck, this movie tries to do exactly what Guardians does.
Well,
but just
not
doesn't
really,
do
because
it as good.
Star-Lord's a fucking like a galactic cap fucking starship pilot. Like, that's a pretty fucking incredible skill. Like, this guy's just a thief.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just in the personification of it, like, Chris Pratt just plays every, like, average Joe really well. You watch Guardians of the Galaxy and you're like, man, he's just a dude. Like, that's just a guy, you know, just like,
yeah, he's a guy trying to make a name for himself, though. That's
the
difference.
And this is a guy just trying to save his daughter, and I'm like, but it's much more entertaining to watch Chris Pratt be Chris Pratt than it is to watch Paul Rudd in this instance be Paul Rudd. Yeah. Only saying this instance only because Paul Rudd is my second man crush I've discovered. Ewan McGregor being my other one. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's but I think that's the difference though, man, is that Paul Rudd's reasons are family orientated. Like, he's trying to be a good person that we can relate to. Like, a lot of people around that age would be in the same sort of predicament. They just want to be able to, you know, provide for their family or their and get the respect of their kid and all that. That's all he really cares about. Like he doesn't even like he's a fucking master thief, but he doesn't like doing that. Like, he keeps coming back to that because of the family thing. I mean, that's what I like. Whereas Star-Lord, yeah, definitely an everyman, but he's trying to make a name for himself. He wants to be Star-Lord, the legendary Star-Lord, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's just that slight difference that I can differentiate them, but you're definitely right. It's two comedians being everyman and being trying to be funny and not take it seriously.
Pretty much it.
But speaking of comedians, fucking, what about Michael Pena in this movie, man?
He was on point.
Fucking hell. I think he was the best thing about this movie. Every time he was fucking going on one of his rants, I was losing my shit. I thought he was just fucking brilliant. He's so
golden.
So fucking stupid. He's such a dumbass. And I love it.
Yeah. Poor Rudd's like, just calm down. I love that. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Poor Rudd's telling him to calm down.
And those scenes, like, where it's like him doing the voice of all the characters in his story, and, you know, we're seeing them, but it's his voice coming out, like, like the Asian girl at the end, it's him talking. just a lot of fun.
That was good.
But let's quickly talk about, you know, some of the effects and you know, Ant-Man's powers. Like, his power is to shrink. Which is a pretty interesting thing. I quite liked the way that they sort of shot the shrinking things. Like, it all seemed very overwhelming, especially to start with. Like, that first scene where he shrinks in the bathtub, I was actually quite blown away. I found that really, really fun. But what did you think?
There was something about it that just threw me. Like, I really thought it was cool, but, like, a lot of the way the miniature stuff was shot, I was like, man, there's something about this just that just doesn't seem right. And I don't know what it was. I know the film was shot. They didn't use big sets. What they did was they just, like, sort of obvious, like, CGI, they shot everything with a macro lens, like a super detailed macro lens. And so, I don't know what it was, though. There were just moments where he was small, and I was like, I don't know if I can get behind this. Like, the way it was shot, That's a very, very personal thing. Like, I was like, is it just my personal preference? Like, that scene where he was running through the dance floor and all the feet, and, like, I was just like, this is, like, I don't know what it is about it. It just doesn't look right. A lot of the time, it just didn't look right to me. Yeah, there were just moments that didn't look right.
Well, it definitely had this crazy, like, sort of effect over it, and it was shot, like, on quite a wide lens that was really like rough. Like, it felt like every time he got really short, is like it kind of went almost fisheye and went like it was just like a really rough, like crank style. Everything was like very, very erratic and fast paced and everything. And like he's having to sprint everywhere because to cover you know a meter is like a K for him, sort of thing.
Yeah,
I found fun, but I. Like, I really liked the macro thing. Like, I liked all the texture and all the, you know, the surfaces and, like, everything looked different, like, from the porcelain in the tub to just shitty pipes to carpet to, you know, concrete. Like, it was very, very interesting and like, because we were so close up to that stuff, I think that style of shooting really, really benefited it. And like I said, that first thing, I really liked when he went down into the dance floor, he's fallen through all the floors in the apartment building. Like I found that really overwhelming and like exactly like how the character should feel. And I was quite blown away with it to start with, but as the film went on, the novelty really wore off for me. And I think I started to come back into more what you're talking about. Like it just didn't start, it started to just feel weird. And didn't really sit right. Like, and I just wanted to go back to normal size so it would look properly, you know. It was really interesting because, like, I remember thinking, wow, they fucking nailed this when he shrunk in the bathtub and he's freaking out. And I think they had the right amount of the character just like not understanding what's happening. And then moving on with the story as well. They didn't like, you know, they didn't shortchange that. Like he was like freaking out about it the whole time. But yeah, I don't know. Later in the film, it kind of got wore off and they used that same sort of, joke over and over with, you know, it quickly zooming out to show that it's just like this little small train hit him and then zooming out to show that, oh, he just hit the bug zapper or was it. I think they may have overused that joke a little bit.
I love the moment where he jumps in the gun, which it was like, that was like test footage from ages ago. It was Ant-Man. He jumps, shrinks, like runs across the gun and punches the dude. Yeah, I always loved that. I was like, that's fucking great. And the scene where he's running through the mock, like, you know, model building and he's getting shot at. That was God, that is sick.
Yeah.
But
they definitely had some fun with where he could shrink into. They didn't just like shrink him in a room and just left him in there. Like, you know, he's fallen out of a fucking helicopter in a suitcase and shit like that. Like, I liked that. They definitely were very creative with where he shrunk.
Yeah, it definitely had its moments. It definitely had, like, they definitely really put it together. But it just gets old quick. I do like his ants though. That was mint. The fact that he could count, like, he was. Like, you have it had an army of ants. I was like, fuck, that's cool. Like, God, that just, like, totally balances out such a small sort of ability.
To be able to, like, have a whole army of millions of ants can basically overpower any thing that's, you know, regular size.
Yeah.
And they kind of, they explained the reasoning behind, you know, him being able to control these ants and how they're, like, trained to get the ants to grab the sugar and all that sort of thing. Like, I liked the build-up to all that sort of stuff. It wasn't just like, oh, now you're small, you're actually on a wavelength with an ant. Yeah, because that's what I expected, like, not knowing the character that well. But, you know, he had some supersonic ear thing that worked for him.
Yeah, which is gold, yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about his costume?
I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty dope, to be honest. It kind of just fits, to be honest, with the rest of the Marvel costumes, though, which is this kind of new age sort of, the colours are there, but they're sort of not as wacky as they used to be, and, like, that's kind of what they've been doing with everyone, and it did the same thing, I guess. I didn't really have any expectation. There's nothing to it, you know? There's nothing really to any real costume, like Iron Man is the same, and like Captain America is the same, and Thor even does it. Like, they're all just kind of this new sort of, like, there's nothing really too outlandish about them. They kind of keep it that way.
It's, I don't know. I didn't really feel the costume as much as I would have liked. I like the color scheme. I think it's the mask. The mask doesn't really, it's kind of a bit Gammon looking.
Yeah, you're not a fan?
It's not that I don't like it. It's just not, I just don't love it. Like, it's, you know, for such a, an obscure character, like, I think he needed to look a little more badass, but then that's kind of his character. He isn't really badass, so it sort of works. Like, I think that the yellow jacket looked badass. Like, that was a fucking cool costume.
Yeah.
Especially for a villain. Like, he was one of the best costumes I've seen, and on the contrast, like, Ant-Man just wasn't as cool. But, like, talking now that I'm actually saying it, like, Paul Rudd isn't really cool, is he? Like, he's not...
No.
He's not fucking the... He's not Chris Hemsworth or Iron Man. So it's... I guess it works, but... Yeah,
well, I mean, like, the original costume is really fucking lame as well.
Yeah, it's super
looking lame. Looking at it right now, and it's me typing, but it's fucking dorky as hell. Like, it's so dorky. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you got anything else to talk about?
Nah, man, I'm done.
All right, well, let's wrap this shit up. Hit us with your finals.
Yeah, look, I thought it was fun. I thought it had fun moments. Paul Rudd nailed it, and there were definitely good moments that I enjoyed. But it just kind of felt like white noise. I just kind of felt as if it was another Marvel film with another tone, and they're like, but it's wacky, and it's like, it's not, and you can't use that as an excuse because I don't believe you. And because of that, I just don't agree that it's this fucking different Marvel film. It's the same shit, same tone, and I'm just bored of it anyway. Like, I'm over it. I'm so over it. And, you know, I'm just, to be honest, I'm just hanging out for Batman vs. Superman, because that's kind of the last one I think I'll be keen for. Oh, and Civil War. But, I don't know, it's just kind of white noise with a tone that didn't know where it wanted to go and a villain that didn't know what it wanted to do. But Paul Rudd is just fucking awesome anyway. He's just the coolest. Just the coolest. And because of that, it gets a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I've kind of, like, I've already said it. Like, I think that it kind of nailed its tone, and it worked for me. It was different enough while still being same, but different sort of shit, that was refreshing. I expect that tone from a Marvel film, so if it wasn't there, I would be like, well, how does this fit? And so I don't really have as big a problem with it. I do agree that I'm starting to get bored with it, but this one brought enough different to it that it entertained me. And the comedy element and just that relatability of the every man's style of things just really, really spoke to me in this film. And I was able to get onto the right level and just roll with it. And I liked all the characters. I liked the story. I liked the build. I think there was just enough origin. I probably would have liked to have seen a little more with the villain. Like I said, I did enjoy him. But after this conversation, you're right. He didn't get enough to make us actually care. Which I just don't understand why Marvel keep fucking that up so bad. Like, they just need to stop worrying about bringing new heroes and concentrate on our villains, because villains are always more interesting than the good guys. Michael Pena fucking makes this movie along with Paul Rudd. So it's basically, like I said, a Judd Apatow. I would have loved to have seen Judd Apatow direct this, actually. That would have been a really fun experiment in filmmaking to see Knocked Up fucking as a superhero film, because I think he could do it. I think, and it's pretty much this movie, and it probably would have been even better if he did it. Who was the director, by the way? I don't even know him.
Peyton Reed.
He did something.
Let me find out what he did for you.
But like, they had a great fucking writing team on it, like coming from the foundations of Edgar Wright to to the comedy of Adam McKay and Paul Rudd, which that's what works for this film for me, and I think it's what sets it apart from most other.
He directed The Breakup, Bring It On, Yes Man.
Oh, that's right. Yes Man, that's right. Yeah.
He directed.
Yeah, I can see that. See, this feels like Yes Man as a superhero movie. I can definitely see that. So, but I had a lot of fun with it. A lot more than I thought I would. And that's refreshing, and it seems to be doing quite well around the traps. Like most people out there are digging it. And I think it's
got the worst domestic debut of a Marvel film.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll take a little while for word to spread. I remember seeing Taryn from where I used to work, where you work. I remember she posted up something about loving it, and then somebody else was like, "Really? Like, what the fuck?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "See, that's gonna be the mentality that's gonna be most of it, because like we were saying before, it's fucking Ant-Man. Like, really? Like, even I was like, really, and I like comics, so it's kind of." So I think it'll take a little while for the word to spread that it's actually decent, and you know, Paul Rudd being in it is a bit of a game changer. So, I give it a 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a classic David score, right above Connor.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to go a lot lower, to be honest. You were pretty.
Nah, it's pretty fucking mad, but it's not shit. It's not a shit film. It's just bland. It's just fucking white noise.
Yeah.
Man, I'm I'm so over superhero movies.
Yeah, well, saying that, like, after I actually even considered going and seeing it again, because I saw it on Thursday night, and I was over the weekend, I kind of like forgot what happened in the movie. And yeah. I thought, shit, I might have to go see it again. But then I was talking with somebody about it before, and it just all came back to me. So, but it is. It does become a little bit like that. It's nothing like groundbreaking like Guardians was. But it's. I think it's just because it's two sort of stories that we've seen a lot. It's a struggling dad and a superhero.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But next week we're actually going to be in the same fucking room when we do a podcast.
Yeah. I'm coming out tomorrow, you motherfuckers. When this goes up, I'll be there. I'll fucking be in Melbourne or crashed because I hate planes. Oh, man. I'm getting so drunk before I get on the plane. Like, I have to do it. Oh, man. I'm not going to be good.
And then you'll be throwing up all over the plane. It'll be an even worse.
And then I'll come to yours and be like, hey, God.
And you'll just be passed out for the next 3 days, and we won't actually get to spend any time together. But I've got we spoke about it last week, but there really isn't much coming out next week that's too exciting. We've got The Gallows, we've got Selfless, which is Ryan Reynolds' new one. Mr. Holmes, I don't really know too much about. Man Up, which is the guy from Shaun of the Dead. What's his name?
Nick Frost or Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg, he's in it, but I don't know. Nothing's really standing out to me, so I'm gonna put it forward to you and our listeners. Should we review Terminator?
Nah, fuck that shit. That's done.
I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No.
But I think it's a, like, because next week will probably just be some bland movie.
Yeah, it's true.
Like that. But look, I'll put it out. Well, like, it's up to you. If you really don't want to do it, we won't do it. But I think we should maybe put it out to the listeners, put it on the Facebook. Because I think after seeing, I spoke a little bit about it last week, but I think it really is something that we need to talk about. It's a delightful mess of time travel shit.
Right, well, I'm seeing that when I come to Melbourne, so you have to watch it again.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll go watch it on Thursday. Well, if we didn't do Terminator, which one do you want to do? The Gallows? I know you really want to do Gallows.
You're right. There's no movie I want to do, so let's just do fucking Terminator.
Well, we'll put it up on the site. Post on our Facebook to tell us which one you would like us to listen to. And I think the fact that Terminator's been out for a little while, more people will have seen it and more people will want to discuss it, because it is definitely a movie that deserves some attention. All right, so we'll put that up on the Facebook. Other than that, go check out our Podbean, podbean.com, search Fishing Connoisseur Movie.
Yeah.
You can find all our episodes. We've got 45 fucking episodes now. There's definitely something in there that you've seen that you would love to hear our opinion on.
Because we're great and we're funny and we're fun to be around and we're just good people. We're just good people.
That's right. Otherwise, you can go on iTunes, Fishing Connoisseur Movie. It's all on there. Check it out. But until next week, me and Connor will be in the same room. We're going to be getting fucking crunk.
Woo!
Hopefully Terminator, if you guys want to do that.
See you later! Play the music, fish!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fishing Connoisseur Movie. Fishing Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Ant-Man, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, Theme from Ant-Man, is performed by Christoph Beck.